to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2019, by Eric Williams.
Many of you know that this past August, my wife and I became empty nesters when our younger child went off to college in California. Now, the nice thing about college students is that they do come home from time to time, and it's wonderful to have both of our girls back home for the Christmas vacation, both of them actually performing tonight in various roles. Home seems more like home when everybody's home. We also suffered a loss this past year. My wife's mother, Kathy, passed away, and so we're thinking about that, and I know that is the case for many families. Each holiday brings some additions and some subtractions into our celebrations and into our homes. Susan and her sister are selling their mom's home in Grosse Pointe, and it's a strange feeling, even if you're in your 50s, to sell the family home, the childhood home. This was a home that Susan's grandparents built, so it's always been in the family, and it was really quite jarring for everyone to see the for sale sign go up for the very first time in front of that house. It's a strange feeling to let go of home, something we do in many ways. I was reflecting on that as I was reading our scriptures today and thinking about all the different homes that I have lived in, from the home in California. Last time I was there, actually, they had torn it down. All that was left was the front door and the main wall, because in California, if you keep one wall, it's a renovation, not a rebuild, and it affects all the financial parts. It was strange to open the front door and have nothing there, just a view of the wide open spaces. I've lived in several places. I've lived in houses and apartments and dorms, and of course, if you think of all the trips that you take, hotels and vacation rentals and all those different places. But what makes a particular place home? Is it that your stuff is there? Is it that there are roots there, that you've been there for a long time? Is it that the people that you love are there, the people? Is it, what is it exactly that makes where you live your home? I thought about this because of the life that Jesus led. In fact, from the very beginning of Jesus' life, he was essentially homeless. Jesus was not born in Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph were from. They had to travel while Mary was very pregnant, all the way down to Bethlehem because of the census that was being taken. And so Jesus was born, in fact, not even in a human home. He had to go into a manger where the animals were. We saw a similar kind of a thing when we were in Israel, in the Holy Land, this past November, and it probably was a cave. And down inside the cave is where the animals would have bedded down, and that's probably where Jesus was born, in a cave in Shepherd's Field outside of the town of Bethlehem. They couldn't even go right back to Nazareth because of the death sentence that Herod had levied against all children under two. And so they went from Bethlehem to Egypt. And finally, we assume eventually Jesus got to go back home to Nazareth. When we pick up his story again as an adult, however, he again had no home. He was a wandering teacher. In fact, he was driven out of Nazareth, his hometown, because of his radical preaching. The townspeople, his own closest neighbors, drove him out. And as far as we know, he never went back to Nazareth. He wandered up and down Palestine, teaching and healing and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. We saw many of the places where he taught and dwelt during those 3 years of his earthly ministry. We went to Capernaum, the town on the Sea of Galilee, where Peter was from, where Jesus kind of had a home base. We went, of course, to the Mount of Olives, where he visited often with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And of course, we went up to Jerusalem, the site of his death and resurrection. In all those places, however, none of them really were Jesus' home. In fact, Jesus was very clear in his teaching to his disciples and to the crowds that his home, his true home, was with his Father in heaven. And he encouraged his followers, his disciples, his hearers, he encouraged them to also think of their home as being with God in heaven. Well, where is that? The problem is there's not an address for heaven. In fact, when we look at the stories of Jesus and his teaching, we see that there was one very clear theme, and that's the theme that speaks to me so deeply on this Christmas Eve. And it was simply this, that in Christmas, God was making his home with us in Jesus so that we might make our home with God. In Jesus, God was making his home with us so that we might make our home in God. What does that look like? What does it look like to make our home in God? It seems to me that we spend a lot of our time looking for, seeking, and yearning for this sense of home. It was very interesting. Ironically, in the Holy Land, turf is a big deal. You know, Jesus was like, well, make sure your home isn't anywhere on earth. Make sure it's with your Father in heaven. So what did the Christians immediately do? They started camping out on the very holy sites of Jesus' life and creating intense battles over turf. The Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem is controlled by three different denominations: Roman Catholics, Greek Orthodox, and Armenians, and they guard their turf in that space very jealously. They vie for authority. It's even worse when you go to Jerusalem to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the site of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. There, six denominations jealously guard their turf in that space. It's so ironic. Because those places, as amazing as they are, as wonderful as they are to visit, are not Jesus' home. There's nothing there that is not also here. Nothing there that communicates God's living presence more than there is here. Because in Jesus, God was making his home with us and in us so that we might make our home in God. Many years ago, I was in a parish and I was agonizing over whether I should stay in that parish or whether I should leave that parish and go to another parish. And I asked my bishop at the time, what do I do? And he was a very wise man. He said, Eric, do you think that you can please God in the new parish? I said, yes, Bishop, I think I could. He said, good. Do you think you can please God in the parish where you are currently serving? And I said to him, well, I think so, Bishop, yes. He said, then it doesn't matter all that much, does it? If you can please God here and you can please God there, the main thing is, are you pleasing God? This intense agonizing that I was going through was more about my own ego and my own yearning to find happiness in the next place. Maybe you've met people like this who are always dissatisfied. Perhaps I'll be happy if I make more money. Perhaps I'll be happy if I get a different job. Perhaps I'll be happy if I have a bigger house or a smaller house or a house in a different town or maybe in a different relationship or you fill in the blank. I'll be happy if. The same bishop who was counseling me said, Eric, the key is to bloom where you're planted. I took that to heart. It reminded me of the vows that Benedictine monks take. We always think of, oh, poverty, chastity, obedience. We think, oh my gosh, how could anyone do those? But the really important vow that they take, I think, is a vow that's called stability. They vow to stop being so antsy. They vow to look for and find God in the places and in the relationships in which they find themselves. They vow, in other words, to slow down, to stop, and to experience God right here and right now. I personally believe that that is one of the secrets to happiness, to be able to experience God, to be fully present right here and right now. Instead of saying, but if only dot, 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 if only I could go or be or do or think or experience. No. In Christmas, in Jesus, God was making his home with us so that we might make our home in God. Might make our home in God, whether we are visiting Bethlehem and Nazareth and Jerusalem, or whether we are looking for and finding God right here in Rochester, Michigan. Because God dwells here as much as God dwells in the Holy Land. God dwells in your heart, in my heart, in our hearts. That is the promise and the gift of Christmas. The first Christmas, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus, that little fragile tiny baby, came into this world in a manger. And today, when that same Jesus dwells in our lives and in our hearts and makes us, you and me, God's home, may we practice the wonderful discipline and the joy and the freedom of experiencing God's amazing, abundant love and presence right here and right now, this Christmas Eve and forever.